He's good all the time, and all the time He's good. And when we think that He's not doing something for us, He's working on your behalf. He knows exactly what time to make it come forth. He knows that you've been praying for it. He knows that you've been believing for it. He knows how to give it to you better than you could get it for yourself. And so God is on the throne this morning. He's working the way that only God can work. And I'm so happy to be in His house. Now I want to tell you, for those of you that haven't heard my preaching, I am not politically correct, okay? I'm not worried about politics. I'm not worried about tickling people's fancy. I ain't worried about that stuff. I'm worried about preaching the unadulterated version of the living God. See, I'm going to tell it how it is, and how it is going to be told. And see, Stephanie has grown to really like that about me. And you know what? It'll set you free if you could keep it real with yourself. Amen. It'll help you to not be so confused in your life if you can be honest with yourself and tell yourself, hey, here's what my hang up is. Isn't that right, Jody? Jody said, Kelly, don't stand by me. You have a habit of spitting. Look, these two front rows are reserved for that purpose. He stops sitting up here. He says he gets a crick in his neck when he has to watch me. But you know what? God is good. I'm so happy to be here. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 3. And I thank God for all the moms in here. And moms, this is your day. And this word, let me tell you something. I preached a sermon on Easter, and let me tell you, I did not sugarcoat a thing. You know why? Because there's some people, they only come on Easter. They have heard the same Easter message a million times. Guess what? Today's not going to be any different. We're going to hear it. We're going to hear how God wants it told. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you, because it's coming. Glory. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. See, are you serving God with a clear conscience? Or is there something on your conscience that you say, no, God will overlook that. No, God will, it's okay. See, I'm doing 9 things out of 10 right. See, no, God's not overlooking. God's looking at you and He's saying, child, get this thing right here. The thing you've been brushing over. The thing you've been justifying. The thing that you've been making excuses over. See, God wants a kid that says, hey, I'm going to serve Him with a very clear conscience. Does that mean you have to be perfect? No, it doesn't. But it means you have to make room in that heart to try to work those things out. You got to learn how to work out that salvation on your own with fear and with trembling. Now, a couple years ago, I was driving down the road, and see, I've heard the same stuff for almost 34 years now, and it really didn't mean a whole lot of anything, because I had heard it so many times. And you can hear something, and it mean nothing to you, because you've heard that. Especially people that have been raised up in the church, they get very cynical, they get very numb, they get very whatever, because see, they've seen a lot of things. God said, Kelly, you've got to work that out. I called Dad and I said, you know, you missed a part in my raising, and it was this right here. You never told me that working out your own salvation is actually like working out, literally. There's things that, Michelle, I struggle with on a daily basis. And by the end of the day, I feel like I've run a marathon just by arguing with myself, just by getting that flesh under control, where I behave, where I don't give somebody a piece of my mind like I want to, like I rehearse, like I get going at 8 o'clock in the morning and I have a full-blown argument with that person. See, God's on the throne, and we got to make place for the Lord, because, hey, every mom in here, you got a role to play. God wants you to know what that role is, and He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health, and He wants you to be happy. Amen. There's too many moms out here going to bed every night, and you're brokenhearted. You're sad. You're depressed. You're upset. God's here to set you free this morning. Now, do you want the freedom, or are you going to leave it here? Glory to be to Jesus. Okay. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. See, We got Paul here talking to Timothy, and Timothy loved Paul like it was his own son. And see, Paul anointed Timothy to minister, and he's writing him this letter from prison, and he's saying, hey, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to wrap my arms around you. I remember how much I love you, okay? And it says, I recall your tears and I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Now the question I got to ask you today, is your faith sincere? Yeah, this is a message for mamas. And this is a message for everybody. Everybody's got to get down and dirty. Everybody's got to brush all the stuff away. All the how do I look? I'm going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to shove off that appearance like I got it together. I'm not going to let nobody see me for me. Because if they do, they won't think I've got it all together. They'll think that, you know, whatever. We are too worried about appearances. We are very concerned with how us moms look. I'm the most competitive person you'll meet. Man, ain't none of them mamas at my kid's school going to outdo me. I'm going to make sure of it. But see, we got to brush some of the nonsense aside, and we got to know what is really important. What is really a sincere faith? What is really a clear conscience? And it says here, I remember your sincere faith. And hold on, women. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Now, thank God for some Loises and some Eunices. Because y'all have had some Loises and some Eunices in your life. You've had that mama. You've had that grandma. You've had that person standing in the gap for you. And he's saying, hey, I remember that sincere faith, and I'm going to credit your mama. I'm going to credit your grandma because I know that's where you got it from. They put something inside of you that's not returned void. They've given you a heritage. See, mamas have to learn what to give their children. What is really important? We all want our kids to be popular. We want them to be the best looking ones. We definitely want that on Under Armour on their back, on their feet. We want them to be the most athletic. We want them to be the cutest. We want them to be the teacher's favorite. There's things we want. But see, what is important? I went to a field day with my child a couple weeks ago, and we are not the most athletic folks. I think he's in here, and I'm going to keep it at that. And we're not real athletic. Why is he not real athletic? Well, look at me and his daddy. We're not the most athletic folks. Isn't it a wonder? So, oh, he's sleeping. Well, good. And so we get over there, Melissa. And I missed the first 5 minutes of that. And they did a little activity. And there's a ton of people on field day over at Parrish School District. And I walked up in there, and all I see out of all those kids, I saw them from a mile away. The moment I walked in there, I sensed that something was wrong with my son. You can call it a mother's instinct. You can call it whatever you want to. But you know, even when they groan, don't you know, Mama, when there's something wrong? You know, because that's something that God put in there. See, and the whole time, the devil is trying to take that thing up out of Mama's, and he's trying to drag it from them so they can't do what they're supposed to do. See, God is constantly trying to drain the mother, constantly trying to depress the mother, constantly trying to overwhelm the mama. Why? Because, see, look at what's at stake. And the thing is that we would do anything for our kids. Sometimes the best thing that you can do for your children is woman up and know that God's on the throne. There's things that's not that important. But when I walked into that building, I instantly sensed that there was something wrong with my little Carson Paul. And I thought, oh, what could be wrong with him? I do not want to make a scene in front of all these other mothers. But I will. I mean, if a scene's got to be had, I'll do it. You know, sign me up. I'm good at it. And I sat there for about 10 minutes And Billy, I just wondered what was wrong. And I could tell by the look on his face. And he was way over there. I was in the bleachers and here he is on the court. And I kept looking. And you know what? Before I could help myself, there I was. Got my big girl pants on. I walked down them steps on that court and I marched myself over to my kid. And I said, what is wrong? And when he looked up, the little tears just coming down from his face. Now, he's 7 years old. And I looked at that teacher and I said, now, what is wrong with him? She said, well, he didn't do good at that last activity. I said, well, I need to know what the other activity's fixing to be. She goes, well, it's going to be that little, the potato sack running. I said, oh, thank God. Even I can figure that out. I looked at Carson. And I got eye level with him. I got on my knees and I said, now look at me, son. You have everything that it takes to do this next activity. But if you can't have a good attitude, if you don't know you can do it, you're going to fail before you ever start. I need you to know that you can do it. And man, I was sitting there talking to him. You'd think I was getting him prepared for law school or something. Man, I was telling him all about this sack running business because it was important. Because it was the thing that was troubling him in that moment. See, that's how mamas are. If it troubles them babies, we don't care how old they are. They could be in their 20s. They could be in their 30s. They could be 10. They could be however old. It don't matter. We want them happy and we want them whole. And when I got up and I walked back, God said, Kelly, I saw you a mile away. Before you was ever a mother, I saw you for who you are. I saw you. I knew exactly to give Carson Paul to you. See, I'm the chick. I took fertility medicine to have my kids. And you know what? I wanted him. I wanted him so bad. I used to have this nursery for Carson before he ever came about. And I used to hold this little ball cap. And I used to cry and cry and tell God, God, if you'll give me a child, God, I'll raise him up in your house. See, we got all these elaborate things that we do, all these stuff, all the sports, all the parties, all the things. Let me tell you something right now. This is not going to be politically correct. This is not going to tickle your fancy. This is not going to make you happy. But if you will not take that child to God's house, you are robbing them of the very thing that's going to save their soul. Now, I know that's not popular, but that is the gospel truth. You're not going to hear a bunch of baloney on my watch. You raise them up in God's house when they get old. They're not departing from that. They may think they are. Amen. They're not. Amen. But you know what? Everybody needs a Lois and everybody needs a Eunice. Amen. Why? Because we got to start raising a generation that's got a sincere faith. Yes. Not a surface level thing. Surface level will get you nowhere. Surface level is nothing. See, it's not enough to just know the pastor. It's not enough to drive past the church. No, you got to get in there. You got to figure out what's going on. You got to figure out what God wants for you. And it says, I am persuaded that that same faith, that sincere faith, it now lives in you. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God. Work your gift. See, us mamas, we are very gifted. We are very talented. Some of you are going, really? Yeah. You got to find your niche, but you got it. You got something that you're going to be good at. Shelly's looking at me like she goes the other day, you need to find me something that I can do and sell. And I said, we got to find your niche because I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure you're good at something. We're going to figure that out. But you know what? Amen. We got to find the thing. We got to find that part in us, that motherly part. And we got to learn. And Dad tells me this all the time. He said, when I tell him about Carson, he'll say, Kelly, you got to ask God. God, what are we trying to raise? What are we trying to raise? See, God, are we raising a president? God, are we raising a felon? God, are we raising a criminal? God, who are we raising? And God, what are we raising? And see, if you ain't asked God that, I want you to write that down. Because see, that's something that you need to start asking God before we make it to the end of that childhood. Amen? Jody's going, God, Kelly, you just say anything. Yep. Nothing's changed, Joe. And it says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, you can lay hands on your kids. This is somebody that thought of Timothy as a child, as his own son. And he laid his hands on him and he appointed him. See, you can raise you can lay your hands on your kid. I don't care how old they are. You can lay your hands on that adult child and you can say, God, in the name of Jesus, every demon that's trying to take them from you, I command it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. See, we need a Lois and we need a Eunice because, see, we got a generation that's already up and they think that they don't owe nobody nothing. Everybody owes them something. Everybody's entitled. Everybody is due something. You know what? None of us is due nothing. We're due to praise the Lord. We're due to magnify His name. See, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. You ain't doing nothing unless it's with Him. If you're numb in here today, if you've gotten yourself to where you can't even feel nothing, see, I talk about those type of things because that's where a lot of people live, Billy. They live in that state where they can't feel things. Why? Because they have let stress and worry and all these things that come up into the mama's heart, we've let that weigh us down and we can't even feel stuff we're supposed to feel. We can't act like how we're supposed to act because we've gotten ourselves kind of disconnected. We can do some things that we never thought we were capable of doing. We can say some things we never thought we was capable of saying. Sometimes Carson does things and I'm like, Jeremy, do I do that? He goes, that's where he got it from. I'm going, ooh, I need to change that. That is not of God. And I see it very clearly now that my child is doing it. See, we're going to teach them. We're teaching them right now. We're teaching them as we live. We're teaching them by letting them watch our lives. They're learning. They're learning more from what you're doing than what you're telling them. They're learning at what you're doing with them. They're learning about who your God is. See, if your God is anything but the living God, they know it. See, I ain't going to have no gods before. He's a jealous God. Man, I got hooked up one time with the wrong dude. Woo! He took me on a ride I knew I didn't want to go on. I went on it anyways, and by golly, it was not good. And at the end of that, when I was brokenhearted, God said, I'm a jealous God. That whole time, I didn't tell you to give your heart to Him. He's the wrong one. Now you messed up. Now you get to be in a little time out and you get to be single because I'm going to have to fix that brokenness before I bring you Mr. Right. See, us mamas, we got to know how to make the right choices. Why? Because we got these little eyes that's looking at the things that we're doing. And it's our job to protect and guard their heart. How do you do that? You protect and you guard your heart. Amen. Because you're, the very essence of your child is you. Amen. Is the mama. When I'm sad, Heather, my children have an off day. When I'm broken, my children have a bad day. They'll come home with a bad color. See, I set the precedent for the things that my kids are going to be able to have and do. And I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. See, who are they going to be? How am I going to raise them? Am I going to raise them to say, you'll declare a thing and you'll see it come to pass? See, that's the heritage that we have for our children. But see, the devil wants to come in and snatch that out of us, draining us, overwhelming us, breaking our heart. But see, you got to learn how to guard that heart because you guarding your heart is you guarding your kids' heart. That's the bottom line. Your kids end up brokenhearted. Look at your life. Amen?
I feel the Holy Ghost.
Well, glory be to Jesus, Sam. And it says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us a spirit of power. See, power is a spirit that He gave us. Lots of people don't walk in that power because they don't even know they can walk in it. See, God does say, hey, He said in Genesis, have dominion. The very first chapter, He says, take control of this thing called your life. Take control of the earth that I gave you. Have dominion. You get up every morning and you know who you are and you tell that thing to get out of your life. You tell that addiction it has to go. Not every addiction is to a substance. Some of us are addicted to being angry. Some of us are addicted to being bitter. Some of us are addicted to having the wrong person up in our life. Yeah, I've gone to meddling. And, I mean, that's how my services go. We're just going to talk about real problems that real people have. Because you may be able to understand this message a little bit if I actually preach truth. And if I actually preach about things that actually go on in our life. Glory. But He did not. He gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. Yes. If there's something that I could say that I need more of as a mama, it's a sound mind. Yes. Man, there isn't anything, Teresa, that will get me going quicker than somebody messing with my kid. My kid upset about something. I don't know what that is because it's like somebody pulls up your skin and puts something burning hot underneath there because that's how I feel when I get worked up about one of my kids. Man, I got to look out for the flesh because when I figure out who it is not going to be good for them. And I'm a preacher. Sometimes that goes out the window. I'm like, I will go down to that school. You just tell me who it is, Carson. He's like, no, Mama. No, no, no. I did not say they were hitting me. Good, because I'll take care of that. But see, we have to teach our children how to have the spirit of power. How to have the spirit of love. Sometimes Carson will say something, and I talk a lot about Carson in my messages because the other one is just too young for me to give these life lessons to. So Carson gets most of them right now. And sometimes he'll say something, and I'll think, have I taught this child bitterness already? Have I taught him to hold a grudge already? Jeremy will say, Kelly, you don't even remember what you ate last night, but I get you talking about that certain somebody, you'll pull up things from 10, 15 years ago. I'll tell you what they was wearing when they said what they said. I'll tell you what I was wearing. And I'll tell you what I said, and I'll darn sure tell you what they said verbatim. And then I'll add a few things in there just because it makes it better. The story just a little juicier. See, I'm a mama. I know how mamas are because I am one. And more in my motherhood, God's saying, Kelly, be the woman of God that your kids really need. Amen, Kel. Kelly, woman up.
Amen, Kel.
Don't let them see you that way. Don't let them see you talking to their daddy that way. You love him. You respect him. You honor him. Because, see, they're going to be that. Let me tell y'all a little funny something. God works in some mysterious ways. He surely does. I married my husband in October. It's going to be 11 years. He's the best man in the whole world. He is what keeps me sane. If I ever go insane, it's because Jeremy went on a trip to St. Louis. And I'm just flying out here willy-nilly. I mean, and he goes in the bathroom to get away from me, and now we got three bathrooms, and now it's a guessing game as to which one he's at. But I will narrow it down, and I will get him, and I will get him where he can't go nowhere. And we'll have a come to Jesus meeting because there's some things he's got to talk me off of that ledge. And my mother-in-law is about 5 foot tall, and her name is Vicky. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. And Vicky, if she was here, she would be amening me. She would be laughing because she knows it's the truth. Me and Vicky didn't really get along the first several years of our marriage. You know why? Because she was having to realize she was giving up her son to another woman, and I was trying to think that she wasn't giving him up like I wanted her to. We were both after that same control. We both just alike. Okay? He married a younger version of his mama. And I still didn't like her after I had my first kid. I loved her, but there was always a little something there because I wanted to prove to her I was in control. You feel me? We want that mama to know. I wanted her to know. And by the time I had my second boy, and I realized I wasn't getting no girls, I started looking at her in a different light. And then I started realizing one day somebody would be doing that to me. And then I just started crying. I cried about that for days. And I got to a point, Jeremy and I, we got to trying to sell a house. And this was when God began to deal with my heart and say, Kelly, you better bury that hatchet with your mother-in-law. I am not happy about it. I am not pleased. You are sinning. You are doing wrong by that woman. She bore your husband. She is your kid's grandmother. And you have been disrespectful to her. And you better get it right. God is my witness, and I got her over my old house. See, I had two houses. You want to learn what stress is? You get two of them at one time. You try to pay for them, and then you try to take care of them, and you'll learn what stress is. And I got her over there, and God said, now, Kelly, you have your mother-in-law pray that this house will sell. I said, oh, I don't want to do that. Because I don't want her to know that I need something. I don't want her to know that I ain't got it all together. See, let's get real. And there was that thing that just said, Kelly, I ain't letting this go. This house will not sell till you walk in obedience, till you do what I've told you to do. And I said, Vicky, I need you to pray God down and sell this house. And she looked at me like, oh my God, that was the first time in ever I'd ever asked her that I needed something. And it shocked her. Because I had been a real heifer to her. And she had been one to me, but you know what? Fair game. I plan on doing it too. And she grabbed me by the waist. She held me. And she just began to cry. And let me tell you something. That 5 foot woman brought down the Holy Spirit. Better not ever heard it called down. She began to pray in tongues. She began to wave her hand around all Pentecostal like. And she said, in the name of Jesus, I command this house to sell. Everything that's coming against the sale of this house, I command it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. And then she began to describe to me the person that would buy that house. It was all right on. You know what? Women need other women. Women need to be kind to other women. Women need to lift other women up. Why? Because women need women. Women need the older women to tell them how to do what we don't know how to do. The older women, they need some entertainment. Amen? They get it in this church. They surely do. Glory, let's go to... This is the wrong message I've got going on. Here's the right message. Glad. I don't know what that other one was. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. And it says, "For you created, God, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." See, this is a child. This is David. We need to raise kids that talk to God like this. "God, you knew me before I was ever born. God, when you were knitting me together in the womb of my mother, you knew me. You called me out by name." See, God is looking for the child's affection. He's looking for your affection. How do we raise kids that know how to give God the glory that He deserves? How do we know how to get them to honor God? How do we know how to get them to learn how to fight their battles? We teach them. We teach them by the example that we're giving them. Amen. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to look here at verses 8 and 9. And it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." See, the mama, almost more than any other thing when it comes to that child, she's the one that's teaching these things. See, the daddy, yeah, he guides. And for all the single mamas up in here, you know what? You got it going on because it's hard. It's difficult. But it's not impossible. See, God will meet you right where you need to be met. God will meet you right where you say, "I'm at the end of me with my motherhood. God, you're going to have to help me with this child." See, God's right there to help you. God's right there to guide you. But the mama is a teacher. We teach our things, kids, and we don't even realize we're teaching it to them. Amen? Anyhow, let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. There we go. I'm going to get like Brother Angelo, and I won't even need notes. He can just quote them things. Let me tell you, if I quoted most of what was in my head, I wouldn't even know where it was coming from. Jody, you're about to just have to stand up here and hold this thing. It says here in Proverbs chapter 14, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." See, you're either a wise mama or you're not. That's the best way I can put that with all these children out in service this morning. You're either a smart mama or you're not. Because you know what? A smart woman, how do you build your house? You put God first. See, God is not your doormat. God is God. And if He ain't first, He ain't nothing. Because see, God's a jealous God. He wants to be first in your life. He wants there to be a place where only He is. You know what? I love my husband. I love him dearly. I'd give my life for him any day out of the week. But you know what? God taught me how to fall in love with him way before I fell in love with Jeremy. Why? Because God was teaching me how to put him first. See, when I met Jeremy, he said, "I'll never love you as much as I love Jesus. I never will. But I promise you'll be second." You know what? That's what you want. You want somebody that says, "I'm going to put you second. Because if I put God first, all of our life will be blessed. All of our life will be taken care of. All of our life will be provided for." See, you want that. If you're single in here today, that's what you're going for. You're looking for that man that says, "Hey, I'm not putting you first. You are second always to Jesus." Now, that's not very popular. I'm not a popularity preacher. I've never been real popular in my whole life. Doesn't bother me because I've always been a big mouth. And some things will never change. Claudia's like, "Oh, girl." Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. See, we're talking about mamas in here today. That doesn't give you men in here free-for-all. Like, you don't have to catch nothing out of this message. You need to grab onto some of this because this is good stuff. And it applies to more folks than just the mama. But the mama needs one day where she gets a message that's more curved around her than anybody else. Amen. She deserves it, and she's earned it, and she's going to get it. In verse 25, it says, she is clothed in strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. There's too many mamas out here doing everything but laughing. There's too many mamas out here that are brokenhearted and crying in front of their kids. I know what that feels like. I did that for the first several years of Carson's life because I let myself get addicted to being a jerk. I let myself get addicted to being angry and being bitter. I went up to a trip in 2018 in Fayetteville, and my sister Melissa, you just don't get much of a rise out of her. She's pretty, I don't even know how to describe it. It's good, but it's different. And I am very emotional, especially when something's bothering me. And I got up there, and I said, Melissa, I don't even know how to be happy anymore. I can't even keep it together in front of my kids. I am miserable. I am unhappy. I am depressed. I am sad, and I'm angry all the time. And I said, I don't know what it's going to take to get me out of it. And you know what? Women need women. Every woman in this room, somebody needs you and somebody needs the very best version of you. Because Stephanie, God will use a woman to help set another woman free. Women are for women. She put her hands on me in that hotel hallway. She didn't care who was looking around. See, you love God, you stop caring about who's looking at things. It don't matter. She laid her hands on me and she began to get that devil off of me. And it was the spirit of depression, everything, man, that was going on. And she just began to pray in tongues. Everybody was walking around. They ain't never heard that stuff. And here's Melissa and she's praying. Something changed inside of me that day. But you know what? God needs women to be the best type of women they can be. Because women need other women to help them. It is very lonely in this world for mothers and women. And that's why we need other women to help lift us up. To help teach us what we're supposed to do. Because we honestly don't know. Amen. Last place for me, 3 John. Actually, I skipped a verse, so I'm going to get it. Verse 29 of that Proverbs 31 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction. See, that's the teaching part of a mama. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Every husband in this place, every whatever you call yourself, you know what? You need to learn how to compliment your woman. You need to learn how to compliment your wife. You need to learn how to build her up, because everything inside of her is building her down. See, it's hard to get yourself to where you think you're good enough and you're not inadequate. Women deal with that. We think, I'm not enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm this, I'm that. We are constantly talking ourselves in and out of things that are good and good and bad. I mean, really. But we need you men to lift us up and build us up, to compliment us. Jer. Glory. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Amen. A lot of women can do a lot of things. And you know what? Stop being concerned with what every other woman in the world is doing. Say, God, help me surpass every last one of them. You know how you do it? You walk in the calling that God has for you. You stop worrying about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is letting their kid do, what everybody else is saying. You let that go because it's filth. You let it go because it's not what God called you to do. And you learn how to handle success as a mom. You learn how to surpass all of your enemies. See all the people talking smack? You learn how to just pass them up. Amen? People can relate to smack talking. I mean, that's a whole lot of the message right there. Amen. I'll take it. Last place for me, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. I've got no bigger goal. I've got no greater joy. I've got nothing else that's more important than making sure I raise them up the way that God told me to. God, what are you trying to raise here? God, what kind of a mama do you need me to be for this child? Because see, God knew the child to give to you. If you got a strong-willed one, he knew to give them to you. You got to ask God, God, why did you trust me so much? See, God knew you was up to it. God knew you had everything that you needed to do it. And he trusted you with that kid because you have what it takes. We got to rely on God. We got to learn, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with surpassing everything. God said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You're above and you're not beneath. And there's too many mamas putting their self beneath them own selves. Amen. Well, hey, let's turn it back over to Pastor.
Praise God. That was the best Mother's Day message I've ever heard in my life.
Amen.
Wasn't it? Somebody give Jesus some glory right now. Can I have a handheld mic? Yeah. Bring that up here, son. This is Mother's Day. Kelly, give that to your mama. Sweetheart, you've grown some neat daughters. Stand up and close this service for us.
Father, I just thank you for every mother here, Father. I pray that your love, Father, will show itself mighty in their lives, Father, to change them, to make them the women that they should be. Father, that everyone that leaves here today feels blessed, Father, and they feel your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Go and be blessed, moms. We love you.